Thank you for joining us here at Life Church. It's an honor to share God's word with you today. Our prayer is that you will connect with Jesus Christ as you hear his word online. We'd love to have you visit one of our upcoming gatherings. For more information, visit us online at www.liferva.org or contact our church offices and we'll be happy to help you in any way that we can. Let's go now to one of our recent services where you can experience a life-giving message from God's word.
Amen. Well, today's a special day. We are closing out our 10-week foundation series today. How many of you have enjoyed this series that we kicked off the year with? It's been a great series. And today's message, I've asked Pastor Chuck to do today's message because this is a subject that's very near and dear to his heart. And after I heard him speak in the 9 o'clock hour, I knew, yep, we got the right man for the job today. Amen. So if you don't know Pastor Chuck, I want to encourage you to get to know this man. He's a great man of God, dear friend of mine, and we've known each other for many years. We're kin to each other. We're still trying to figure out what that means. Third cousins, second cousins, twice removed. Who knows what that stuff means, right? We just know we're brothers in the Lord at least. So why don't you welcome Pastor Chuck right now this morning. Amen.
Amen. How many of you are excited to be here this morning? I don't know about you, but I'm excited about my Jesus. You know, I don't know, you know, about you, but I don't, through the foundation series, there are several things that I've learned, you know, that have pricked my heart. One of the things was on water baptism, and I believe God just really showed me some things. And then when Pastor Robin preached on prayer, I looked for an area of my life that I could add more. And I found out that in the morning on my way to work that I had about 20 minutes that I usually used for quiet time that I began to use for worship and prayer. And what a difference that can make in your life. You know, so I just thank you for showing up and letting us teach and preach these truths to you, but more than that, of taking them and doing something with them. I've heard some good testimonies and just glad to be able to share this morning. So we're actually on lesson 10, and I just love the title of this, Sharing the Hope. How many of you know that there is a hope inside of you this morning, and that when you share that hope, we reach lost people? So I'm so excited about that. So again, welcome to week number 10 of the Foundation Series, and the final message will again be today. And closing out this series today, we're talking about an area of my life that I'm very passionate about, evangelism, outreach, and sharing the gospel. You see, one of the things that I've said before is that I'm a storyteller. So if you take me into the Bible and I can find a story of how Jesus affected somebody's life, it changes mine. But then I learned that I also have a story, and that if I take my story and begin to share it, that it helps promote who Jesus Christ is. And so just thankful this morning. So if you don't remember anything else, remember that sharing the hope is something that's inside of each of us, and that's our goal for this week. You see, the Lord desires that we commit our lives to being the messengers of God's good news to others, using our time, talents, and treasures for his kingdom. As discussed last week, we're all called or created to fulfill God's purpose in our lives, and we're made for ministry. So doing that brings glory to God. It connects us to the needs of others that are around us. Last week, we also discussed ways that we can serve each other here at Life Church. But today, I want to focus on one of the most significant ways we can serve those who don't know Jesus, which is simply by sharing the gospel or sharing your personal story. You see, that's one thing about each of us, that every one of us has this encounter with God, but we have individual stories of what Jesus has done for us. And what I found out that in my circle, that I began to look for folks that I think may have a similar story, but begin to share, this is what God did for me. You see, it's that simple, so we don't have to make it complicated. But 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15 says, if someone asks about your hope as a believer, always be ready to explain it. Now, you know, early on when I was a Christian, and I may have heard that voice, it may have scared me a little bit because I found out that I didn't know all the scripture or theology or all of those things, and it kind of scared me. But when I realized that all I had to do was simply tell a story of what Jesus had done for me and that that would open doors, you couldn't stop me from that point on. And that's my hope for each of you this morning. So this final message, again, the series is called Sharing the Hope. Every person on earth, and I want you to remember this, you're either a missionary, which means you're saved, or you're a mission field, unsaved. And as followers of Jesus, his mission now has become our mission. So you realize that when you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you are now a missionary, whether you knew that or not. And we're believing that God is going to help each of us this week. The Bible tells us that Jesus came to earth because we found ourselves in a mess that we couldn't escape. We were all created to have a relationship with God, but through our selfish choices, we severed that relationship, and simply by sin. Now, God also knew that we were going to have these hard times and we were going to do these things and make wrong decisions. So guess what? He also already had a solution, and that's his son, Jesus Christ, this morning. Amen. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life." So this is what Jesus came to earth to do. His mission was to die so that I might have eternal life this morning. Luke 19:10 says, "For the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost." You see, that verse says it all. I'm thankful that our God still heals. I'm thankful that our God delivers. I'm thankful that our God shows up. But more than that, the greatest miracle that you'll ever experience is when you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior this morning. So you see, the rest are benefits, but that was God's plan. It was for us to share the message of the gospel. And guess what? If each of us did that this week, imagine how many people would hear about the wonderful news of Jesus Christ. You see, Jesus Christ came to seek and save the lost and to offer us abundant life this morning. You might think, this is wonderful, but what does this have to do with me and my purpose? You see, the mission and purpose of Jesus should be the mission and purpose of the church and every believer this morning. So, you know, again, when we read that verse that he came to seek and save the lost, that should become our mission. Our mission should become to tell a lost person that this is what Jesus Christ can do for you today. Got a few things I'd like to share with you. Jesus' mission should matter to me and you. Ask yourself that question this morning. Is this a burning desire? Is it my desire to tell someone about the good news of Jesus Christ? If not, I pray by the end of this service, it is. So number one, it says, to be like Jesus, my life must include his mission. Your life and Jesus' mission should intertwine once you become a Christian. When Jesus prayed for us, he said this in John 17 and 18, "Just as you sent me into the world, I'm sending them also into the world." So, you know, what a powerful verse in realizing that Jesus not only loved us enough that he came and he gave his life, but that he gave us that testimony, that test that we can go out and share that good news with someone else. Jesus understood why he was sent into the world, and he indicated that he was sending us into the world. We cannot please God if we choose to ignore his mission. You see, God didn't save you this morning to sit on a pew. God didn't save you this morning to hear the word of God and do nothing with it. What God saved you for is to get up in the morning, you begin to pray and say, "God, would you send me across someone's path today?" And you know what will happen? God will honor that and send you, and you all of a sudden you'll realize, hey, let me drop this little nugget right in this person's life. That's what we were created for and saved for this morning. When Jesus was on the earth, again, he had a physical body, but today Jesus is not physically present with us, but he's here spiritually, so we don't have to go this alone. And that's why I find out that it's so important, again, that if I bathe each day in prayer and say, "God, will you send me across the path of someone?" God honors that. And there are little times this heart begins to do like that, and I'm like, "Okay, God, give me the words, and I'll go." And it's just that simple this morning. So what is the physical body of Jesus actually called? The church. And guess what? At Life Church, we're the church. I'm so thankful for a church that believes that God still saves this morning. So again, we at Life Church are the church, and we can't forget that. We can't forget that the mission is that not only do we come in and we worship and all of those things, but that we hear the Word of God, and then we take the Word of God out those doors and simply begin to share it and tell someone about Jesus Christ. When Jesus walked the earth, he was confined to one location. But today, as the church, again, which we are the church, the body of Christ is literally all around the world. And he's not limited to a single physical body because he has all of us. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm thankful that I have Jesus in my heart this morning. But I'm more thankful that I have a desire that I want to share him with someone. You know, and the thing is this morning, maybe you're here and you would say, Pastor Chuck, I don't know Jesus. Well, guess what? You can know him before you leave here today, because that's how real our God is. You don't have to walk out here the same way that you came in. He'll take your test and give you a testimony and set you on fire and use you this week. That's the Jesus that we have this morning. Another reason the mission of Jesus should matter to me, number two, is I've been commissioned to share the gospel. I want you to listen to that. You know, it's not just something that I want to do, but I'm commissioned to actually share that hope. When Jesus Christ was here on earth, he said something so important that is recorded in the scripture five times in five different situations in five different ways. In fact, he did it once in each of the four gospels and once in the book of Acts. These instances are referred to, again, as the Great Commissions. You may think there's only one Great Commission passage, but in fact, there are five. There's one in Matthew, one in Mark, one in Luke, one in John, and one in Acts. So why are they called the Great Commission? Because they're the greatest thing that you can center your life around this morning. And I'd like to share some scripture with you and read them. So in Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20, listen to this. Says, then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. What a powerful scripture. Mark 16, 15 through verse 15 through 16. And then he told them, go into all the world and preach the good news to everyone. I don't know about you, but I'm excited about the good news. And guess what? Jesus is still the good news today. So he said, go preach it to everyone. Anyone who believes and is baptized will be saved, but anyone who refuses to believe will be condemned. Luke 24, verses 46 through 47, he told them, this is what's written, the Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all the nations, beginning in Jerusalem. John 20 and 21, and again Jesus said, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you. Acts 1 and 8. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witness in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. When I look at those scriptures and I realize that it is a commission for me to share that good news, but also Jesus made a way and said, you don't got to do this alone. I'm going to give you the power of the Holy Spirit, and he's going to anoint you and he's going to use you. You see, we worry so much on what we're going to say, but let me tell you another thing. There's something that begins to rise up inside when you begin to witness, and the Holy Spirit will give you the words to say this morning. Jesus expresses it in five times, in five different ways, in five settings, and each time provides a unique version of go and share the hope. How many of you have a hope inside of you this morning? Do you realize this week that you're going to come across someone that feels like they have no hope? You're going to come across someone that needs to know the message that's inside of you. Don't let the enemy place fear inside of you. Realize that Jesus commissioned you and that you got this. You know, there's some mornings that I just have to tell the enemy, not today, devil. It ain't going to happen, you know. And that's my goal. Get up each morning. Not today, devil. I want to come across someone that and share the hope and the message of Jesus Christ. The message Jesus conveys is my mission must matter to you. And even looking over this, I begin to ask myself that question, does the mission matter as much as it used to? And I found out that I needed to pray a little in that area as well. But I'm telling you, the God that we serve is a big God this morning, and I'm so thankful for what Jesus did for us and love to share that hope. So you're commissioned this morning. Being commissioned means being requested to do something by someone in authority. If I am a Christian, my mission is to share the hope. It's not optional. It's something that I'm called to. You know, I began to think of this message and thought about if all of us took it this week and we really prayed that prayer and just said, God, this week I want you to send me to one person. Imagine if God did that, the impact that Life Church could have in the world out there. Yes. That's my prayer for each of us this morning. 2 Corinthians 5:19-20 says, for God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting people's sins against them, and he gave us this wonderful message of reconciliation. So we're Christ's ambassadors, and God is making his appeal through us. We speak for Christ when we plead, come back to God. Amen. Amen. You know, and it's just that simple. Sometimes it's just going up to someone and just simply saying, you know what, let me tell you about what God did for me. I know you're going through a rough time, but when I was back here and I didn't know what to do and begin to pray and seek God, and that God showed up and made a way, that's how simple it is. It's not about theology. It's not about knowing every scripture. It's telling someone, this is what Jesus did for me. You see, my commission comes with a title. I'm an ambassador. Man, isn't that a powerful word? I'm an ambassador for Christ to the nations. That's a powerful statement. The Bible states that God's making his appeal through us. I am an ambassador for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and his name is Jesus Christ this morning. And it's a privilege to actually represent him. So again, we looked at, to be like him, my life must include his mission. It's not a question. It must include his mission. I've been commissioned also to share that hope this morning. Third, people are lost without Jesus. Never forget that people are lost without him. You know, when we really begin to think like that, our whole mindset changes. When I look at someone and say, do they know Jesus? That changes my mindset. Acts 4:12 says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under the heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. The New Century version of that same verse says, Jesus is the only one who can save people. No one else in this world is able to save us. You see, Jesus is the only way to heaven, and people are lost without him. And that's just the simple truth. Therefore, we must share this message. Someone needs to tell them. You know, God could write the good news in the sky, but instead he's chosen you and me to share that good news. You see, I know that there are many things we enjoy about coming to church. Again, how many of you love that good worship this morning? Yes. Amen. What about the good preaching? We enjoy that as well. And the teaching of Word of God. We enjoy great friends and hugs and opportunities for our kids to learn about the Lord. But this is the main point that I want you to remember. We have to remember to take this message of hope outside these walls and this doors. That's what we were created for this morning. 1 Timothy 2:1-4 says, I urge then, first of all, that petitions, prayers, intercessions, thanksgiving be made for all people, for kings and all those in authority, that we may live a peaceful and quiet life in all godliness and holiness. This is good and pleases God, our Savior, who wants, listen to this, all people to be saved and to come to a knowledge of truth this morning. You see, sometimes when we walk around, we almost look at someone and say, there ain't no way God could reach them. But you know, that's exactly the ones that God wants to reach. You know, some of the times what I found out in my own life is that I have to friend that person and just begin to work and work and work and show the love of God. And then you see things begin to turn. I'll tell you an incident a couple of weeks ago. I walked into a store and I knew that he was a Muslim. And I said, God, there's no way you can save him. And God pricked my heart. He said, I can save anyone. And I'm telling you what, I begin to love that man and talk to that man. And I've watched his attitude change. I spend more money there each week than I should, because I'm determined that he's going to know about the love of Jesus Christ. And this week he said these words as I begin to walk out. Thank you for being nice to me. And I said, you go, God. You just get in there in the midst of it and give me the words and use me and let you be a light to this gentleman. That's how easy it works. I'm telling you, there's no one that God can't save this morning. sharing the good news really is the good news. I don't know about you, but my life was all apart before Jesus. And I'm telling you this morning, He is the good news. He is still the deliverer, the healer, the sanctifier, the baptizer. He's all of those things. But more than that, He wants to see the lost saved this morning. You see, Paul, let me read this scripture, Ephesians again. Remember, Ephesians 2 and 12 says, remember that in the past you were without Christ. How many of you remember that? You were not citizens of Israel, and you had no part in the agreements with the promise that God made to His people. You had no hope. And you didn't know God. Anyone remember not having hope? You see, there was a time in my life between 18 and 22, I had no hope because I was so addicted to drugs. I didn't know how to function. I couldn't think straight. Things that I thought I knew weren't real, and all of these things that went on. And there was a place where I just decided, I can't beat this war that's going on inside of me. A point that I tried to just check out and it didn't work. And remember, the doctor, even when he came in, he told me that I should be ashamed of myself. And I sat there and I wept. And it wasn't because of what I did. It was because I lived and the war continued. But let me tell you something greater than that. There came a night when once again I had to fall on my face and I didn't know who God was. But I simply said these words, God, if you're real and you'll help me, I'll never do this again. And you know what happened? Jesus Christ showed up and He said, I'll take that war and because you don't need that. And you see, it started that journey. And yes, it was a long journey and it wasn't perfect and all of that. I said in the first service, I was so thankful to be a part of a church and have two pastors that believe that there's no one that God can't reach. But I'm thankful for freedom groups and life groups and all of these opportunities that we have to pour into people and watch them get a hold of that hope and take it out there. That's what our Jesus does this morning. I could tell you much more. And you know what? I got a good friend here who could really tell you some good stories about me. But none of that matters. You know what matters is that my Jesus delivers. And He saves and He sets free. That's my testimony this morning. You see, a personal testimony remains one of the most powerful forms of communication today. Think about it. Your personal testimony is your story. When you look at television and different ads and they use personal stories, and I was saying that on Facebook there was this commercial and it was about dogs, and I'm a dog lover and we got more dogs than we do kids, and it was talking about if they would eat this food that they would lose weight and they would look like that. At first I thought maybe I should eat it, but I thought my Ruby could look like that, and then I was like, oh, wait a minute. It's an advertisement, but it made me think and look. And you see, that's what your story does. There are times that God puts you in a encounter with somebody that might be broken or lost, and you simply say, you know what, let me tell you about the love of God. You see, it's not, your story doesn't have to be like mine. Mine's deep. Your story can be plain. My wife is the opposite of me. She used to, one time she cried, she said, I don't have a story like you. I don't have a testimony. I said, your testimony is more powerful than mine. You can tell about the love of God and how it kept you from going to these places. You see, that's the thing about our God. Our stories are unique. When Pastor Rodney was preaching last week, and I'll get it wrong, but I'll just paraphrase it. You know, he said, our stories don't take God by surprise. That God sees that story, and He just kind of intertwines it into His plan for us, and we move on. And that's what makes your testimony powerful this morning. What a God we serve. Your personal testimony remains one of the most powerful forms of communication today. How does that work in the church world? Simply, hey, I tried Jesus. I don't know all the right answers, but let me tell you, He restored my marriage. That marriage seminar that's coming up, that's powerful. I encourage you, if you're a married couple, to get here. You know why? Because I had broke my marriage and God restored it a long time ago. God put trust back where there wasn't none. You see, not only was I an addict, I could be a good liar. And God can deliver from that too, because He did to this old boy. God heals, and it can simply be that. It can be He set me free. He healed my body. He showed up when no one was there. You see, a personal story is still one of the most powerful forms of communication that there is. And the Bible's full of so many examples of people that share their testimony. Listen to these. David says, "Come and listen, and I'll tell you what God's done for me." That was David. The woman at the well, many of the Samaritans of the town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. You know, I love that story, and you go back there and look at it and read it and realize that she came to the well one way, but boy, she went another way back because she had an encounter. She left the old water pot in the mess. I believe she went back in there and she said, "Come meet a man that told me everything about my life. He knew it all, but yet he loved me." The man born blind said, "I was once blind, but now I see." Peter and John says, "We speak the things which we have seen and heard." I love this one about Paul. Six different occasions in Acts chapters 22 through 26, he used his personal testimony to share the gospel with unbelievers. Many of them were powerful people. You say, "God can't do that." Let me tell you, the last time I was in Philippines, God set me in front of a one-star general who said, "Tell me why you serve him." I'm telling you, God can do it. And that's the God that we serve. You might say, "Well, Pastor Chuck, I don't have a story like yours." You don't need a story like mine. You need your story. Your testimony be, "I don't have everything figured out. I don't have all the theology down. But all I know is that Jesus Christ changed my life, and that's enough to share the good news this morning." You see, your testimony holds unique value, both to God and to those around you. It's a one of a kind. There are no others like it. You're the only person who can share your testimony. I can't share it for you, but I really believe that God can put you in front of someone that needs to hear your individual story and encounter with God. You're the author of it. It's difficult for someone to say that's not true. People may not like your theology, but they can't argue with your story that this is what God did for me. You see, people love a personal story. It's something that they don't forget and they don't remember. I mean, they remember at times, and it comes back to that remembrance. People can relate to your story, so it builds a relational bridge. You know, again, sometimes when you go out and you begin to share with someone, God may open that door and you just be able to unload it all. But there are times he lets you plant a seed. And then he lets you go back and water it a little bit and give it a little bit of nugget. Never despise those times. Just keep trusting that God is working it out. Your story is your most effective witness. A lot of people today are not going to listen maybe so much to the Bible, but they'll listen to your story. So share your hope. 1 Peter 3 and 15 again, if someone asks about your hope as a believer, always be ready to explain it. Now again, in the early stages of being a Christian, that kind of scared me because I was like, what if I don't know the right scripture to tell them or this or that and on and on and on. It was a point that I was so ashamed of what I was when I went into the church. They didn't know what to do with me. We didn't have overcomers and groups and things like that. And I was almost ashamed of that part of my life. But when I learned that there was power in a testimony, you couldn't stop me and you still can. Ain't nothing more than I love when somebody comes to me and says, "Oh, Pastor Chuck, well, I'm a drug addict." And I'm like, "Well, guess what? So was I. But that doesn't keep me bound anymore because I got freedom over it. That doesn't keep me back here. I don't worry about it and stand on it and so afraid of it. Why? Because I've got Jesus Christ in my heart this morning. I've got a brand new testimony. I've got a new story. I'm rewriting the end chapters. And I'm so thankful because that's the God we serve this morning. You're actually more effective as a witness than you are, believe it or not, as a full-time pastor. When a pastor shares the gospel, people think he should do this. This is what he's supposed to do. But when you do that, sometimes people stand attention. You know, it says you're actually much more effective, again, as that witness than what I could be at points. But when unbelievers hear you talk about God, you're not the paid professional. You're the satisfied customer. How many of you are satisfied with Jesus this morning? He's a good God. Your testimony is compelling because no one, again, can dispute it. It's your story. There's no such thing as a bad testimony. Don't ever let the enemy tell you not to share your story. Share it because there's someone that needs to hear it. Is the praise team coming, going to wrap this up and share a couple things with you as they're coming to the stage? You see, we're here to share hope. That's what we're here for. The Bible doesn't instruct you to share your faith. It says to share your hope. Why? Because faith is what you believe, while hope is the benefit and byproduct of it. You're going to share what difference it's made in your life. People want to know why you become a Christian before they want to know how you became one. They want to know what difference it actually makes. Is there a solution to any problem that could help me in my life? Today we have God, we have hope, we have Christ in our lives, and we're grateful for that. Do you know another great testimony that you have is how you live your life outside of here? You see, I can fake it here. I can do all the right things and say all the right hallelujahs, but out there, you can't fake it. And the life you live. One thing you'll know about me is I love a good mission trip, and God has blessed me to be in some wonderful places and share the gospel. But one time in Africa, we did an ethics conference in Tanzania, and the Christian that rented us our compound double-crossed us and took our money and re-rented it. And an argument took place and couldn't be settled. There was a Muslim lady on the other side of town that heard what had happened, and she agreed to rent us her compound. But she had some requirements. We couldn't pray inside of the compound. We could pray outside in a courtyard and talk about the Lord. And so when they worked it out, this group was determined, 22 of us, that we were going to love her like nobody's business. And that's what we did. For a week, we loved her. She cleaned our rooms, we tipped her, we did all kinds of things. But what we noticed at night when we would be out just worshiping and loving on Jesus and talking about the day is that she would be in the dark and you could see her standing off from a distance and listening. Now, she was the type of Muslim, she had the whole headdress. All you seen was her eyes. On the last night, I'll never forget it as long as I live, because the way we lived our life, the way we worshiped God, and the way that we loved him, that she walked up in the middle of it by the fire and she pulled her headdress off and began to weep. And she said, I must know this Jesus. You see, that's your greatest testimony, is the way that you live your life. And sometimes you're going to plant seeds that you just don't know how or when or what, but God will do it. I told the first service about a lady named Georgia that I met at Monroe Park one time. And Georgia was a middle-aged white woman. And when we went and sat on the ground, she had a couple gentlemen with her. And she was an addict. And she had braids. And in her hair, she had beer caps that was just smushed to each braid. And she made lots of noise when she moved. She had a lighter. She had a crack spoon. And all of these things weaved in there. And we just talked and had conversation and just about how their life and what they did and those type of things. And at the end, asked, could we pray for you? And they said, yes. And we stood up and prayed. And at the end of it, she said, can I ask you a question? And I said, yes. She said, do you really believe that God can save someone like me? And you see, that's where that little door opened. I said, yes, because I was you and he saved me. And at the end of it, she said, I don't want to get saved. I just want to know if you believe that. I seen her 6 months later walking up Broad Street. I had some bag lunches, turned around, and by the time I got back, they were gone. But just prayed. You know, God, send someone to water the seed. God, send someone to tell her about the Lord. A year later, down at Monroe Park, an event going on, about 2,000 people, this gentleman comes and he says, is your name Chuck? And I said, yes. He said, someone wants to see you. And he had tears flowing down his face, and I walked over there, and there was Georgia, leaned against a tree, nursing a 40-ounce beer. And she, first thing she said, I'm sorry, it helps the pain. Right away, I noticed that her skin was yellow, her eyes was yellow, and she was swollen like she was 9 months pregnant. She had hospital bands out, and she said, I just checked myself out this morning. And she said, do you remember me? I'm like, yes. She said, do you remember what you told me? I said, yes. And she began to weep and said, do you really believe that God could save someone like me? And I said, yes, because he saved me, and I was just like you. And right there in that park, she wept herself to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And it gets better. She said, I've got a mom and two daughters that I haven't seen. What should I do? I said, you need to go home. We put her on a bus and she went home and reunited with those relationships. And a few days later, she was sitting at the feet of Jesus. You see, you don't know the seed that you plant. And thank God, I not only got to plant it, but I got to see that seed grow. But you may plant it and someone else see the fruition of it and it come about. So never think when you tell your story, well, they didn't listen, because you don't know. You don't know how they're listening, because God can do it. You know, as Paul, when that verse, and one of the things that I've often said, that when I get to heaven, when I go through that gate, I want to see Georgia. I want to see her in her right mind. I want to see her whole and well. And I believe that that's going to happen one day. You see, your testimony can be that powerful, that God can reach the lost. I want you to stand with me. You see, this morning, I believe that we need a fresh baptism of personal conviction to share our testimonies or our stories, to share the gospel, maybe on your job this week or at home or school. You see, and you may say, well, Pastor Chuck, that kind of scares me. Don't let it scare you. Let God use you and walk with you. I promise you, if you pray that prayer, God, will you just go with me? He's not going to let you down. He'll lead you to the right person. You see, maybe if that's you this morning, or maybe you're like, I don't know. This altar call is for you, because at the end of it, you can know, because that's how our God works. So if you want the Lord to help you this week, just to share your personal story, to share the message of hope, would you please join me in the altar and let's pray this morning? Come on, let's pray.
Hey, thanks for watching. Be sure to subscribe to this channel so you never miss one of our videos or live streams in the future. Also, take a moment and share this with a friend. Be sure to join us 9 a.m. or 11 a.m. each week live as we celebrate Jesus together here at Life Church. God bless you.